You better not cry, you better not pout. I'm telling you why, not because Santa Claus is coming to town. No, it's the big one. This happens to be Christmas upon us, and we're at the start of the Advent season. And I'm Father Vosgen, I'm a priest of the Armenian Church, celebrating that and so much more. This is episode number 598 of The Next Step, and if you're ready, I know I am, let's take it right now.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries welcoming you to our 12th year of broadcasting The Next Step with Father Vosgen. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Vosgen brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
No, 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 you don't need to give up on Christmas. I know, I hear it all the time. You know, I give up. It's Christmas time. I just enjoy it. I get through Christmas. It's a great season. But you know what? It comes by too quickly, goes by too fast. No, don't give up on it. I mean, take your time with it. And we have time indeed. Actually, the Armenian Church gives us this 50-day period that starts this coming weekend. It is called Hisnag, having to do with the Armenian word for 50. Hisun. Hisnag, 50 days until Christmas. Yes, and of course, we are calculating it to January 6th. You wanted to start a little bit earlier, it's okay. Then you could get to December 25th. Actually, in the Western tradition, they have Advent. And it's, I believe it's 4 weeks that lead up to Christmas. But whatever the case, it's a time of preparation. That's what we'll be talking about during the second portion of today's show, because it happens to be just before I'm giving you enough time to really enjoy it. I mean, you're going to love this because you get ready, and I'm going to give you some things to really think about, to really focus in on, because it's a good period of time that we do not take advantage of. You know, usually during Easter, we always focus in on what's going on in Easter by the road that we travel to it, the Lenten journey. And we've got 50 days. Yeah, it's a 50-dayer to Easter as well. People don't realize this, but when you put together the 40 days of Lent plus the Holy Week there, you've got 49 days. I know. People say, oh, Lent, 40 days. Yeah, you're right. Lent is 40 days, but Lent ends just before Palm Sunday. So then you've got your full Holy Week, and you basically got 49 days. So give or take a day, we're up at 50. So the same amount of time to get ready for Christmas. It's a time where we confront the miracle of Christ being revealed, God being revealed to humanity. And this is a beautiful time, and I want to share some thoughts in preparation for that. We have enough time. I don't want it to be just another Christmas, because the worst thing you could do is just have another of anything. Everything is just so unique and so beautiful and needs to be celebrated, and especially Christmas. Especially Christmas needs to be celebrated, not just as, oh, it's another Christmas, but it is Christ being born brand new. And anyway, I'll share with you in the second portion. I wanted to start off with an article that came my way. It is from America Magazine. I subscribe to this. It's a journal. It's a Jesuit review. And just fantastic, fantastic writing and topics in there. But something just caught my eye that I wanted to share with you, my Next Step listeners. And the title of it is Pope Francis, Religious Fundamentalism is a Plague, in his words. Let me share with you some of it, and then we'll get into it in a few minutes. This is Dateline Vatican City. Interreligious dialogue is an important way to counter fundamentalist groups, as well as the unjust accusation that religions sow division, Pope Francis said. Meeting with members of the Argentinian Institute of Interreligious Dialogue, November 18. Yeah, are we current or what? Huh? Yeah, we are current. I mean, like, you're at the next step, right? So you got to be current. The Pope said that in today's precarious world, dialogue among religions is not a weakness. It finds its reason for being in the dialogue of God with humanity. This is pretty bold. This is pretty bold because it's interreligious. So he's including everybody in there. And the article has a picture of Pope Francis greeting Father Marco, as well as a Muslim leader, Omar Abund, and Rabbi Daniel Goldman, co-presidents of the Argentinian Institute of Interreligious Dialogue. And of course, the Pope himself served as Bishop of Argentina, and that's where I imagine these relationships began. So let's go on. Recalling a scene from the 11th century poem, The Song of Roland, in which Christians threatened Muslims to choose between baptism or death, the Pope denounced the fundamentalist mentality, which we cannot accept nor understand and cannot function anymore. We must beware of fundamentalist groups. Each religion has its own. In Argentina, there are some fundamentalist corners there, he said. Fundamentalism is a plague, and all religions have some fundamentalist first cousins, he said. This is pretty wild when you think about it, because usually you think about religions, probably like fundamentalism is the extreme. And I remember just, what was it, a month and a half ago, going through the Madena Taran in Yerevan. This is the depository of Armenian, primarily religious books. There's early manuscripts that are there, that are preserved. And the same is true at Etchmiadzin, at the museum in Etchmiadzin. The archives, the handwritten manuscripts, you know, laboriously, some monk has sat down and letter by letter has transcribed, has copied, taken this ancient text and copied it and brought it to a new edition, into a new book, one letter at a time. And you could realize it's a lifetime of labor, truly a labor of love. And so when the Pope talks about fundamentalists, I automatically assume that in that fundamentalist mentality is a degree of fanaticism as well. And I remember in Armenia just a month and a half ago, thinking about that entire fanaticism. Aren't these the fanatics of the Armenian church? These monks who sat there and one by one entered words, letters into new volumes and copied entire editions. Yeah, there was no printing press, so it was all hand done. And you could see labor of love. It's an entire life dedicated to preserving that one, say, gospel, that one scripture, that one hymnal, or whatever the case may be. The same is true when you see the Khachkars, and particularly the Khachkar or the cross stone that we saw at Lake Sevan. If you get a chance to get out to the monastery at Lake Sevan, we'll put that on the show notes today as the cover. I can't guarantee if we could dig it up, we'll put that there. But you look at it, and it's an entire cross stone that has been chiseled, that has been carved out of hard, hard rock. And you realize this is an entire lifetime that some monk has given to making this stone. And you want to tell me about fanaticism? Isn't this fanaticism? A whole lifetime to carve a stone? How about some of these monasteries? You ever thought about it? It's more than a lifetime. Several lifetimes. How about some structure such as Gerard? Not built from the ground up, but from the ground down. Caves. Caves that are just born out of the earth itself. And here's the rub. You can't make a mistake on these things. One mistake and it's over. No, but meticulously, not just one person, communities giving their lives to put one stone on top of another, or taking out the earth and designing these structures. I mean, it's beyond belief. And you talk about a fanaticism, right? Fanatic. Fanatic about faith. Fanatic about what you believe in. And when you think about what the Pope said here about fundamentalists, usually they are characterized with this fanatic outlook or this fanatic display of their beliefs. Not necessarily. Fundamentalism does not mean fanaticism. Fanaticism doesn't mean that you're a fundamentalist, but usually what I'm saying is they are characterized together. You got to be careful of it. Why? Because ultimately all organizations, all institutions have as their goal, what? Self-preservation. To get to that point, to find enough people that will be preserving that organization, you need to have some kind of fundamentalist base. You need to have some kind of fanatic approach that, despite the odds, will get you to that goal. Despite the odds of taking rock on top of another rock and creating these huge structures called churches, despite the odds of taking one Bible and meticulously copying letter by letter, the odds are against you. But the fanatics, the fanatic approach lets you arrive at that goal, makes it possible, right? Well, the same is true with the organizations, right? You need some kind of fanaticism that's going to say, despite all the odds, I'm going to make sure that this organization lasts. And you need that fundamentalist base. And here we are, the Pope Francis, coming out against the fundamentalists. And why can he do that? Well, because we're seeing, first of all, in the world that it is fundamentalists that are so fanatic about the faith that they are excluding the dynamics of the faith, namely the opportunity to be tolerant of people outside of the faith. So let me continue with this piece by actually, let's back up and want to reread this one little section. Recalling a scene from the 11th century poem, The Song of Roland, in which Christians threatened Muslims to choose between baptism or death, the Pope denounced the fundamentalist mentality, which we cannot accept nor understand and cannot function anymore. This is a direct quote from Pope Francis. We must beware of fundamentalist groups. Each religion has its own. Fundamentalism is a plague, and all religions have some fundamentalist first cousins, he said. Now let's continue. The article says, according to its website, the Institute of Interreligious Dialogue was founded in Buenos Aires in 2002 and was inspired by then-cardinal, the Pope before he became Pope, as a way to promote understanding among men and women of different religious traditions in our own city and the world. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? There it is. Blessed are the peacemakers. The Pope welcomed the members of the Institute who are in Rome to reflect on the document on human fraternity and improving Christian-Muslim relations, which was signed February 2nd by Pope Francis and Sheikh Ahmad El Tayeb, the Grand Imam of Al-Azhar and a leading religious authority for many Sunni Muslims. The intention of the document, the Pope explained, was a way to adopt a culture of dialogue while respecting each other's unique identity. This is key. Here it is. This is Pope. Quote, "This is key. Identity cannot be negotiated because if you negotiate your identity, there is no dialogue, there is submission. Each religion with its own identity are on the path of dialogue," he said. Okay, so let's back up. So culture of dialogue, he talks about the intention of this document that he's produced, the Pope explained, was a way to adopt a culture of dialogue. What is that culture of dialogue? Well, the key is that identity cannot be negotiated, because if you negotiate your identity, there is no dialogue. There is submission. Each religion with its own identity are on the path of dialogue, he said. So think about how simple that is. It sounds like a lot, but it's just the basic understanding and respect for one another. "The complex human reality of brotherhood," the Pope continued, "can be seen in Scripture when God asks Cain about the whereabouts of his brother. The same question must be asked today and lead members of all religions to reflect on the way of becoming channels of brotherhood instead of walls of division," he said. "To see the dangers of fundamentalism, Christians must also reflect on their own history," he said, "including the 30 Years' War, which began in 1618 as a conflict between Catholic and Protestant states, and the St. Bartholomew's Day massacres in 1572, which saw the targeted assassination of Huguenots by Catholic mobs in France. A bit of history should frighten us," the Pope said. "Whoever doesn't feel frightened from within should ask themselves why." Now, you're talking about a pretty fearless, gutsy leader, aren't you? This is pretty wild as you move on. Pope Francis said he hoped that the document on human fraternity would be welcomed by the international community for the good of the human family, who must pass from simple tolerance to true and peaceful coexistence. It's a long beginning, isn't it? But there's your key. This is the reason why I wanted to share this with you, because as we're getting ready for the Advent season, for the 50 days, it all comes down to this. "For the good of human family, we must pass from simple tolerance to true and peaceful coexistence." Okay, we could talk a big talk about tolerating people, but we have to actually coexist. We have to learn to coexist. It is important to show that we believers are a factor of peace for human societies, and in doing so, we will respond to those who unjustly accuse religions of inciting hatred and causing violence, the Pope said. And this is how it ends, and I will definitely put a link on today's show notes to this article, and I invite you to go deeper into it by following the links that are in this article. Now, I'd like to reflect about this article because, you know, first of all, for the head of the Roman Catholic Church to come out with a statement like this and to share it with, this isn't with other Christians, he's talking inter-religion, in other words, with different religious leaders from the, yes, different would be like with the Muslims, with the Jews, and certainly all the Eastern traditions that there are, but he focuses in on with the Muslims and the Jews, I guess because they are what's called the Abrahamic traditions between the three of them. But what's impressive is the statement that he makes is to move from tolerance to true and peaceful coexistence. And this is a bigger thing than you might you might imagine. First of all, on purely on the surface, for the head of the Roman Catholic Church to come out and say it's not just about tolerating one another, but exactly coexisting. This, in fact, is a huge and monumental step. But I want you to think about it in your case, where you are in your life. So many times, life demands us to deal with others who are of different, not only religions, but of different belief systems, different values, different morals. And we certainly see this in the world today, where we're living in this pluralistic society, we're living, which we were hoping would be a much more global society, with people who have their own belief systems. And you know, here in America, we're seeing this as we speak right now. There is an impeachment inquisition on the president. And as I was watching it, it was very intriguing this morning. I took it in lieu of my podcast during my morning walk. What I did is I tuned into it. And you realize that, you know what? You're not going to change people's minds. You're not going to change their minds. Once they're set in this way, you could say whatever you want. People are going to vote the way they know, especially in this particular case that we're seeing. And the same is true when you look on the world stage. Most people come to faith, come to religion, because of background, because who they are. It's not that they've sat around and really given so much time to weigh out the differences between Muhammad and Jesus and Moses and really like compare. But for the most part, I'm not saying there aren't people who are truly searching and have found, but I'm saying for the most part, people are, I'm going to use the expression, born into their religion. In other words, what was given, what was dealt out, they usually just follow it along. And they may be more in tune to it, less in tune to it along the way. There might be spurts at different parts of their lives. But I want you to think about in your particular case, too, you have to deal with multitude of people who have different backgrounds, different value systems. I mean, just look on the surface. Do you know there was a show? We actually liked it. My wife Susan and I have not had that opportunity to sit and watch a series. And when channels ABC, American Broadcasting System, a few years ago came out with this program, this series called Designated Survivor, we were intrigued by it from the first day. First of all, Designated Survivor, the premise of it and how it happened. It was just fascinating. And for two seasons, we watched it on ABC. And then the third season went over to Netflix. And I guess now that it's on Netflix, I don't know if it still is or if it went over, it lost the censors. And in losing the censors, we personally believe it lost good taste. And all of a sudden, we're watching the first episode, which was the last one we watched. We watched it and we couldn't take it anymore. It was just ridiculous because now without any unbridled, yes, they were just going about doing all kinds of stuff on that show that left us thinking like, hey, you know, this, there isn't anything we enjoyed about this show anymore. So, and more we see this in the world. We live in a world where we have to deal with people who have different backgrounds, different understandings, and just like different tastes, whether it's music or art, life, you have to understand. Now, you can compromise. You can bend the rules. You can go this way or that way. You could be wishy or washy, but what is being said by the Pope here is very true. So we have to go from simple tolerance to true and peaceful coexistence. And in peaceful and peaceful and true coexistence means what? Come on, next steppers, you know the answer to this. It means understanding, which means walking in the shoes of one another. Are we all on the same page right now? Yeah. That's what it comes down to. Here's an article about why we have to walk in the shoes of others. It's about peaceful coexistence, about truth, true coexistence. And it comes to you by way of the Pope, something which is a given, walking in the shoes of others, so that you can have an understanding, so that you can peacefully and truly coexist. So I wanted to share this with you because we are getting ready for the Advent season, and the Advent season gets us to the ultimate coexistence. God telling us that he loves and cares about us so much that his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, is given to us as a gift, as an unexpected gift during the Christmas season. And we sit and we enjoy that, but it comes and goes too far. And before you know it, I know you're going to be saying, oh, it's New Year already. We've got to start making your New Year's resolutions. No, hold off. Guess what? You get this period of 50 days. And that's what we're going to be talking about in the second portion of today's show. We take a break every week to do a song of the day. And I wanted to play this for you last week. It's coming on this week because things changed last week, as you saw. 2 weeks ago, I had the most incredible opportunity to once again fill my ears with that remarkable voice of Isabel Bayraktarian. Now, I want to say this. Words are not sufficient to talk about what we experienced that day. She was in concert at the Western Diocese. She did a repertoire of pieces from Gomidas Vartabet. And as I was thinking about why am I so moved at portions of the concert, actually literally moved to tears, I could not find the words. I cannot find the words today to describe what happened. And then I realized, well, isn't that what art is all about? Art is there because we cannot express our feelings and our emotions in words, and so we go to a higher level. Isn't that what music is about? We cannot express in words, but definitely when you hear a song and it says something to you, it speaks to your soul, not just to your ears. And so it was with that evening. Isabel Bayraktarian. I'm going to share with you one of the songs that she sang, but even more importantly, she shared with us a little story about the song. It's called The Lord's Prayer for Children. And immediately in my head, untrained, I thought to myself, okay, she's going to do a rendition of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But for children. So what could she possibly do? Maybe she's going to use more common words. Baba John, you know, something like that. I don't know. I didn't know what to expect. Hidmer for children. And to be honest with you, it's a Gomidas creation. I had never heard it. And she then explained to us what we were about to hear. She said, Gomidas Vartabed wrote this not for the children to recite, but it was a prayer for the children. It was his prayer for these children that were dying and being executed and having all kinds of vicious things happen to them in the middle of what we know today as the genocide of the Armenian people. It is beautiful in its sadness. It is an expression of Gomidas Vartabet's art rendered to us by the incredible talent of Isabel Bayraktarian.
Oh,
Manugneru Hairmer, the Children's Lord's Prayer, the Children's Our Father, written by Gomidas Vartabed for the children, a prayer for the four children. And of course, celebrated, I don't want to say performed, celebrated by Isabel Bayraktarian. Truly a God-given voice that she shares so readily with the community. I'll have a link on today's show notes, not only to the music that you heard, but also to Isabel Bayraktarian. You want to check her out. It's music that is at a different level. Gives you time to pause. It's meditative. Gives you time to reflect. And it gives you time to really celebrate the beauty that God has put all around us. Christmas time. It is coming up faster than you can imagine. Was it just me, or did you all notice that the stores started packing in Christmas items right just about Halloween time? I know it gets earlier and earlier every year. It used to be a time where, you know, Thanksgiving was the official kickoff of the Christmas season. Now, well, it's getting earlier. End of October, mid-October, we saw Christmas lights coming up. And here we are a week before Thanksgiving, and Christmas is right around the corner. But before you start panicking, before you start changing gears and saying, okay, wait, Christmas time, I know what's going to happen. Hold on. Hold your horses. Take it easy. Let me share with you the thought of celebrating not just Christmas, but a beautiful period given to us by the church called Advent. In Armenian, hisnag. It's actually not the translation of the word Advent. Advent means the coming. In other words, you're looking forward to Christmas, the coming of Christmas. It's the Advent season. In Armenian, it's tied to the number 50, hisnag. And in fact, the Armenian church generously gives you 50 days to get ready for Christmas. On Christmas, we greet one another saying, Christos Zanav Yev Haidnetzav. Christ is born and revealed. And this is a big one, bigger than just a saying. It's actually a way of life once you understand it. But to get to that point, it requires a little bit of preparation. So that when it does come, there's some value to it, right? You prepare for stuff and you find that there's a value. So let's back up first of all. Now in Western tradition, usually Advent, the preparation season, has themes associated with it. Peace, hope, joy, and love. These four themes. And I'm not sure of this, but it sounds like because there are four themes, it's probably a 4-week period. I want to start you off with a biblical quote, and it comes to us from Matthew chapter 9. It talks about taking the new and not putting it into the old. Specifically, it talks about old wineskins. Before the advent, I guess, of bottles, well, it probably were bottles, but they had these wineskins that were made out of the skins of animals, I guess calves, and now these poor little animals. I don't know what they'd do to these things. Anyway, they would take the skin of these animals and they'd make them into bags and they'd carry wine in them. Well, wine is acidic and it would eat away at these wine skins, at these skinned containers. So you wouldn't take new wine and place it into an old container because it would burst. And this is a beautiful saying, because I think Jesus is also signaling to us that you don't need to take the new, and in other words, the Christian tradition, and align it with old traditions. For in fact, the Christ message is something brand new. It's something brand new and should be celebrated on its own merits. And so that being said, I want you to think about this. as we get closer to Christmas, what are those old experiences that we have that we want to put to one side? We call them our habits. And certainly January 1st, following Christmas, before Christmas, it's right around then, right? It becomes this opportunity for us to inspect our old habits, what we call resolutions. We have New Year's resolutions. The New Year's upon us, therefore, we're going to take our old habits and start new. But we fail to understand that it's not just an on-off switch that we have. It takes a conditioning. It takes a different mindset. And so now think about this in terms of the Christian experience of what we call Christmas. The newness of life, the new Christ coming. And think about the habits that you have in your life. Those habits can be just very obnoxious. They could be superficial. They could be very deep down. They could be very subtle. And nobody knows about them except you. But you do know that there are habits. There are things that are going on in your life that you want to put to one side, that you wish to be able to put to one side, and you plan on it, but you don't prepare for it. That's what happens at New Year's. We plan on it. After the New Year, everything is going to be better. I'm going to lose weight. I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to do this and that. But we don't prepare for that New Year's. So thinking that it's going to be an on-off switch. And many of our habits are old ways. They are the old wineskin. So the New Year comes. We put it into the old wineskin. We have the old habits that we have. And we expect things to change. And rather than changing, we see a few little differences from day to day, but basically we end up with our old habits, a repeat of the same. And, I liken this to what Dietrich Bonhoeffer calls the costly grace versus the cheap grace. Many times we have what he calls the cheap grace, basically under, what's given to us via sacraments. Think about that. Sundays you go for communion, and yet confession is turned into this very cheap expression of confessing your sins in a group group experience, that you recite something and an absolution is given to you. Where is that compared to the true idea of penance, of doing penance and receiving that absolution? Now, and not talking about getting a chance to do this. I know there are many, 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 many factors, including not enough people. But what I'm saying is the true grace, not only communion, think about not only penance, confession, but think about the many different sacraments that we have. They're performances on us, and we fail to understand that they are really to change our life to a new skin, so that we can be inside of a new skin. Same is true with Christmas. That's the entire intention of it, that Christ is coming so that we can get into a new skin. Have you ever thought about the miracles of Jesus? There's something unique about many of the miracles of Jesus. He will heal somebody. He'll give somebody sight. He'll give somebody hearing. He'll take somebody and say, stand up. And somebody who has been paraplegic, paralyzed for many years. And he'll say, stand. What does he say afterwards? Have you ever noticed that? What does he say? I bet you have the same question that I've had for many, many years. He turns to them and says, go and tell no one. And you wonder, why? Isn't this kind of cool? Like, Jesus, don't you want the PR? Don't you want the PR? Like, don't you want people to know that you healed this person, that you gave sight to the blind, you gave hearing to the deaf? Don't you want people to know that that paralyzed man is now walking thanks to you? He says, go and tell no one. Why? Well, because the telling people is part of the old skin, isn't it? It's the old skin. Of course it is. It's like taking that new life and putting it into the old skin. What are people going to say? Oh, you can't be cured. It can't be over for you. No. Maybe you've got it all wrong. Maybe it's just an illusion that you're seeing me right now. Maybe you're just hallucinating and that's why you think you hear me right now. No. You were paralyzed. Impossible. It's like the bumblebee, you know, the bumblebee. You take a bumblebee with that massive body and the tiny wings, you give it to an engineer. The engineer says, well, according to the mathematics, this bumblebee cannot fly. Cannot fly. Because for a massive amount of weight that the body presents, you need longer wings. But the bumblebee flies because, well, it doesn't know that it can't fly. It knows that I'm going to fly, whether you like it or not. And when you think about the Advent season in this respect, you understand that we are getting ready for a phenomenal change. The Christ child in the manger is the unexpected gift of Christmas. I'm sure you've seen those commercials where the husband is sneaking around at night preparing for this beautiful gift he's going to give his wife on Christmas morning. And he's going and taking the bows, and finally she comes in the morning and doesn't find anything under the tree, and then he says, look out the window, and there it is, a brand new car with a giant bow on top of it, and she goes wild. Whoa, I love you from now to eternity. Why? Because you gave me this incredible gift. Yes, we do know that. We do know that unexpected gifts are very special, and they are some of the best gifts. Well, think about Jesus. Wasn't he the unexpected gift? He was given, not in the expected town of Jerusalem, given in a small town called Bethlehem, not in some fancy shrine, not born in a palace, but born in a barn, away in a manger where there was no crib for a bed. Unexpected, holy, unique. Given to us by God. Reconciliation, understanding that we now have this gift, means that we can reconcile. We can reconcile with our circumstances, and certainly we are reconciled with God through Christ. It's that easy. Now, to get ready for that gift that you're going to get on Christmas morning, take some time. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying makeup, beer, you know, I'm not telling you the usual stuff that you hear people talking about all the time. Every Christmas season comes, I get so tired of the usual talk. It's talk that you can do if you're not listening to the next step, okay? But I'm hoping that next step listeners are at a little bit higher maturity spiritually in our faith. Okay, yeah, if you're not a Next Step listener, all that other chatter is really nice. Yeah, well, should we celebrate on December 25th or January 6th? Oh, how come we do it? What's wrong with you people? You guys do it on January 6th. I know something about you people. January 7th. Oh, no, that's the Russian. You guys are Armenian. And oof. Too much, man. Too much. Who cares? Do you care? Certainly children, who are God's select, suffer the little children, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Certainly for God, the children are the special ones, and the children don't care. They don't care if it's December 25th, January 6th, or January 2. They're going to get their gifts. They're happy about it, right? Have the faith like a child. Okay, let's have it. Let's realize that it's not about the day. What's the other one that we always hear? Christmas. Oh, you know, I went to the store and they said, Happy Holidays. And I got mad at them. I said, don't say Happy Holidays. Say Merry Christmas. And you know what? I'm going to write it on my Facebook page. And I'm going to tell the whole world that I said Merry Christmas. Who cares? Who cares? It's like this group of Armenian people who went to, where was that? Akhtamar. They went to Turkey. They went inside one of the Armenian churches that the Turks have now occupied and have taken from us. And they sang an Armenian hymn. We sang Surpast Vads. We prayed in Armenian in our ancient homeland in this church that was built by the Armenians, and today the Turks could not stop us from singing that.
Really?
Really? And let me ask you, where were you this last Sunday? In your own hometown, you don't go to church. You don't sing in your own churches, which freely are given to you. And yet we get to take a pride. Hey, we went over there to Turkey and we showed them what we're made out of. Get with the program, man. God doesn't care for these kind of things. Remember, Jesus tolerated everyone except the hypocrite who said one thing and did something else. You want to pray in Turkish churches? First, pray in your own church. And the same is true in our preparation for Advent. You want to celebrate Christmas? Understand that Christmas is coming to you as a very unique and special gift. That's what we get on Christmas morning. And whether you celebrate on the day of January 6th or December 25th, does not matter. What matters is the gift and your acceptance of that gift. There's a whole slew of those sayings that people say at Christmas time about celebrations of dates, about happy holidays versus Merry Christmas, about lights, and we go down and we see the beautiful lights on the house, and you know, I'm not going to give gifts, I'm going to give the gift of love. Those are all cute little things, but they detract from what the real meaning is. So I give you a little prescription. This Sunday begins Advent. It is a period of 50 days until Christmas. It's a period for you to focus in on what's important in your life, what you need to do. It's about you and God. It's about your reconciliation with God, you understanding that you are a child of God and you've been given this opportunity for a new life. In the Armenian church, we have a hymn called Chorurt Medz, Mystery Great, Yevskancheli, and Wonderful. That mystery is coming your way. That's the hymn of Christmas morning. That's what we sing because it is a mystery. That God loves us so much, and he gives us his only begotten Son. There, in all humility, to be an example for us to practice our humility towards one another and here in this world. Take advantage of that time. Now, it's not about saying happy holidays as opposed to Merry Christmas. It's not about materialism, and I know you're going to hear that whole this lecture as well. You know, don't go to the store and everything. It's about giving. It's about loving. It's about understanding. It's about living in harmony and peacefulness with one another. Remember the saying of the angels. Glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth. Goodwill towards men. That was the message of Christmas, by the way. It wasn't about peace on some other planet. Peace in the heavens. No, it was peace on earth. Here, the tangible earth. Goodwill towards men, towards one another. Not goodwill towards the angels, not goodwill towards the saints, not goodwill to other Christians, but goodwill to everyone. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. That was the hope that was given to us by Jesus Christ. I'm going to leave you with that. It's the meditation for this week as a precursor to the Advent season. Advent begins this Sunday. Take advantage of it. Go into church with a heart filled with prayer to understand that you have this opportunity to be reconciled. You have this opportunity to experience the unusual gift Christmas morning. And then we could truly say, Merry Christmas. Christ is born and revealed. Let's take a break right now. Here's Susie to make her announcement considering the piano players here. I'll be back in a few moments, okay?
C
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening, and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement. You know, we were together yesterday. We did a segment for the Ushat Rutyan Getron, the Center of Attention. It's a new little series that has been launched by the Western Diocese Media Department. It is showing on Pan-Armenia TV. Yes, it's a weekly production that appears on Pan-Armenia. And Susie and I were the guests on the taping. So it's going to air in a couple weeks. It'll be on the internet as well, on the Western Diocese Facebook page. But we did it in recognition of our 600th episode, which is coming up in just a couple weeks. We're going to be celebrating 600 episodes of The Next Step, coming to you every week. We're going to be talking about that, sharing about that in this episode that was filmed. So we just recorded that yesterday, had a great time talking about and reminiscing about the nature of the show. Yeah, yes, thank you. It's going to be in Armenian. It was recorded all in Armenian, and I think we did okay. Yeah, we got the message out. But what's important is we talked about technology, the use of technology, of how technology has become a means by which we get the message out. And no different than the first books that were printed. It was the technology of the day. No different from the first stained glasses that were produced and had the stories of the Gospels in beautiful lights in that stained glass. It's no different than any of that. Today we have means by which we can reach out. And we talked about podcasting. We were pioneers back then. Today, just about everybody has a podcast. How about 11 years ago, 2008, when we started off, and we were just a handful of people, well, a few hundred, I think, in the entire world. And we were one of them. We started off then, and every week we've brought you The Next Step. And it comes here because of your prayers, because of your support. And I want to take this opportunity to thank you and invite your participation in this dynamic ministry. You can find us at inhisshoes.org, and there is a donate button, as Susie said, and you can participate therein. There is so much going on in the world, and as the weeks go by, you know, there are many, many topics that we want to cover, and we've been kind of fishing around for a new format to include. Like, for instance, just since last week, there was that horrible, horrific death of the Armenian priest and his father in Syria. And of course, certainly tragic as it is, there's so much that you could talk about as far as what's going on. And this is why the fundamentalist, as I was sharing with you earlier, the Pope's words resounded with us so intensely, because we had just heard that news too. But here it is, like a week later, and new incidents take place. And so in this quick-changing world of news and information, we're trying to really position ourselves and find out how do we go beyond episode number 600, and how do we see ourselves in the coming episodes, in the coming near future and far future, as far as The Next Step goes and in issues goes. I'd always welcome, and I'd love to hear from you, our listeners. You can drop me a line at feedback@epostle.net. And of course, we're on all of the socials. So, you know, drop us a line. Let us know what's going on. Love to hear from you. Anyway, we have a action-packed few weeks ahead of us. This Sunday we'll be at St. Leon, where His Eminence Archbishop Barkev Mardirosyan of Karabakh fame, yes, living saint, is going to be celebrating the Divine Liturgy with us. We're looking forward to being in his presence and hearing his words of inspiration, as always. And, of course, Thanksgiving coming up next week. We have a very special Thanksgiving celebration for you, and I look forward to doing that with you next week. Listen, thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed today's show as much as we enjoyed preparing it for you. It is the Advent season coming upon us. Get ready. Lots of good stuff coming up. Do connect with us and do check out the show notes for more information about topics we talked about today. On behalf of our wonderful crew, Ken, our technical director, and Susie, our producer, this is Father Vosgen inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of vpostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take care. Rascal out!